Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, you want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two here at Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. Saw some Rashad during the break. Some good news on for my family, my niece.
Yes.
Who is... She was born with a congenital heart defect. So, unfortunately, at her young age of 8? Question mark? I believe. I think she's turning 8 this year. She's already had, like, 3 or 4 open heart surgeries. So, they had to go to Stanford last year because she was having some trouble. And it's just already been... a tough life, and she has gone through a lot more than any of us have gone through in our lives. And one of her doctors said, like, hey, you know, you should submit an application to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, you know, get, you know, take a chance, see if they accept it. And sure as hell, she got accepted. So awesome. Whatever her wish.
So cool.
I know. I was like, hell yeah. So whatever her wish is going to be, we'll find out. I told her, I was like, don't ask to meet a celebrity because you're just going to, you know, unless you make it something like, I want to spend a day with the Atlanta Braves.
Want to meet Doja Cat?
Yeah. You gotta get something good out of it. Not just like, I want to hang out with this guy. No, I want to spend
like,
a day.
It's like you are going to be a thing, a block on the schedule for an hour or two, and that's it. Like, make it a day, make it a trip, like, make it meaningful for you and the family to experience. But with that being said, when my sister told me that the other day, it reminded me of the scene off of Basketball when little Joey Thomas finds out that he has a wish, and the wishes he comes up with is like, oh, I want to dump a bunch of flesh-eating piranhas into a public swimming pool, or, oh, how about we poison the water reservoir? And then they ask
else?
Him, yeah, what? No, Joey, what do you truly want? Chelsea Clinton?
You've got a better chance at Bill.
That movie, dude, is obviously subjective top 10 sports movie of all time.
Ooh. Oh, that's a hot take right there.
Oh, it is. It is a hot take, but it is
a very, any hilarious movie that has Bob Costas, you know,
saying, feel these nipples.
That's, I mean,
come on.
That's
you're not that getting that started in 2024.
Yeah,
okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a cameo in that movie. And we all know how maybe surly Kareem could be.
He's just sitting in the glass
just
box.
Just sitting in the glass,
display.
You know. So yeah, some of the celebrity cameos that are in that movie were
Reggie Jackson.
Good. Yeah.
I don't think there's like any sports parody out there that tops yeah, basketball.
Yeah, dude. It is just
that alone puts it in the top 10. Like it's like basketball, major league, kind of right under there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's the obviously the writers of South Park, but then the guy from Naked Gun, David Zucker, I want to say. He's the director, but God.
Speaking of Naked Gun, I actually watched it again for the first time in a long time.
Dude, speaking of Naked Gun, we haven't even got to the news.
To the juice. I always felt so bad about watching Naked Gun. And now that the juice is gone, I watched it and was like, this movie's pretty funny.
I've been waiting to say this on the radio all week. So, guys,
here we go.
The juice's soul is loose.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. Well, listen, the guy did it. All right.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, according to the court records of the state of California, he did not. But he's dead, so it's not like I have to worry about any sort of defamation or anything. The guy did it, all right?
It's actually not even about that. I hate to break it to you, but the whole racial divide, it wasn't even originally about that.
Well, also, I think I saw a picture come across the timeline the other day of where it was like a college campus or something like that, where a bunch of students were watching the verdict. And I know this was the case all over the country, but it is
I was
just
watching
like,
it in seventh grade in gym class. Wow. Yeah.
So was my wife. She said in gym class.
Yeah, in gym class, we were watching that.
Just the, like... It could not have been like, yep, I'm not surprised by that. Literally every black person in that photo just, fist pumping, celebrating. Every white person just stunned, silent, hand over the mouth, looking at the TV.
Man,
just
we
like,
won. That's what that was. That's what the OJ thing was for a lot of black people.
I understand. I understand.
Man, we won. Like, yes, juice. Like, but in the back of our minds, I think a lot of people, most
people. Yeah, he did it, but we won.
Like, a black guy got acquitted for something a white guy normally gets acquitted for. Yeah, that was the way.
And then again, coming off
Nicole Simpson can't rap.
Coming off of the Rodney King thing and the way that they tore LA apart, you know, after that, they knew that city would pop if OJ was
I guess
was
I didn't
guilty.
Really think about it. I did read somewhere else that like years later, the jury, like some members of the jury admitting to like, oh, yeah, we didn't want that to go down. I feel like, they needed one here.
And so. Also, like, if you look back, like this should have been an open and shut case.
Yes.
I mean, if you're being real, this should have been an open, shut thing.
Suk is commenting on this. Like one of his dad's friend was like, I don't know the exact title, but like a district attorney or something up in Alaska. So big law guy, right? Big lawyer. All right.
Involved deep in the system.
Yeah. And he said just like everything that came out of the case that it's like the fact that he was acquitted is just like how in God's name.
Like the way that the prosecution screwed up everything, uh-huh. You know, the way that they put people on the stand that had no business being up there, they systematically one by one just messed everything about that
glove.
Case up. Like there's, I mean, OJ should have went to jail at that point in most people's eyes, alleged.
Well, he did to jail.
He did eventually. He did eventually, but then he became an extra or like a correspondent on Cameron and
Hey Twitter World
show.
I need a drop of that.
Did you ever see
Hey Twitter World?
Oh, I did.
I mean,
what did he do?
He was like a correspondent on Cam and Mace's sports show. It is what it is.
Yeah.
OJ was on there all the time.
Give hot takes.
And here's the cool part, man.
OJ here live at the Buffalo Bills.
OJ was funny.
Yes.
OJ was hilarious, and I'm like, bro, I'm not supposed to be laughing at OJ, but he was really funny and really poignant as far as football and stuff like that. But so that whole, like, he was so charming, he was everything. I can see that because, man, this
man,
dude was
hilarious.
Man,
can he run that football?
Well, and according to Alan Dershowitz, guys, I don't know if you saw this, like, after his death, OJ's death, Alan said, hey, the justice system works. And I'm like, really? I didn't feel like the justice system was meant to be manipulated. And
wasn't he OJ's lawyer?
Yes,
wasn't
no,
he was
yes.
One of his lawyers?
Yes, like, but he's saying because of this acquittal, it proves that the justice system works as opposed to really it's just subject to a lot of money can create a situation with smoke and mirrors and kind of muddy up the waters for a lot of jurors instead of actually finding guilty versus innocent. It's just like, yo, the evidence is there.
For me, the best part of this whole thing was the Heisman Trust coming forward and being like, we mourn OJ. I was like, I thought OJ wasn't a part of the Heisman anything anymore. Didn't they like disassociate OJ from the Heisman?
Well, I definitely haven't seen him up on the stage
in
any of the Heisman ceremonies, so I'm going to assume not. That's like when someone dies and it's the classic, you have a picture of them, so you throw it up on the Instagram. Like, hey, I met him once. R.I.P., homie.
You know, I had a buddy.
Sorry about the death, bro.
I had a buddy of mine, a couple buddies of mine actually, you know, pass away over the last like year. And I felt so weird about posting about them and sharing a picture that I had with both of them. I felt like I was reaching a little bit. Like,
well, I feel like it's, I see it more with the celebrities more than anything. Like someone dies, like, here's the one time I met him. Let me make it about me. Now I'm going to go through my IG timeline because I'm pretty sure I did that about Bob Saget now that I think about that.
Did you really?
I definitely have.
You met Bob Saget? You met Danny Tanner? Where?
It was at the old studio when we used to do stuff with the Helium Comedy Club, and I was
so jelly.
I was producing Dirt and Sprague show that day, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, he came through. Met Craig Robinson also one time too.
Really?
He was high off his ass off of gummy edibles. Like, he was cooked.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
not a big fan of edibles.
He was eating them like candy, like just one after another yeah, though, and it was like that's. I was like, I don't know if you're supposed. You know what? You do you.
Yeah, nice guy, not that funny in my opinion. Sorry, Craig Robinson. Hot take.
Well,
he's got like four shows on NBC because he's a nice guy.
He was classic on Pineapple Express, right?
Well, yes, exactly. He's a great.
You rip somebody's jawbone off. I see it.
Supported character to the max.
All right, so Blazers. We get some justice. We get some sweet, sweet justice because the Blazer season is over officially today.
You get put down humanely.
And Brandon Sprague was supposed to join us. He let us down. He said that he's not in a spot to talk, and I had to confirm it was that emotionally or physically. Like, you're just like, something's going down, and it's like, no, I just can't. I think he is physically somewhere where he can't talk. Cop out.
He's watching the Masters.
It's a cop out, all right? Not happy about it. But we'll talk Blazers next. The sweet, sweet release of this NBA season of the Portland Trail Blazers. Right here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got an assignment for you guys, homework assignment. I think you can come up with one good thing about the Blazers season.
That's easy.
I don't think you can come up with five. So let's meet in the middle and let's do three. What are three things, legitimate things? I don't want Blazers fan bull crap of, well, I think Delano Banton showed that he has a future with this team. And no, don't give me that.
I can give you two things.
Duop Reith. Man, I see a potential 2010 guy there. I don't want to hear any of that crap. All right.
Okay. One thing then.
I want three legitimate positives from this season. I want to see if we can do it.
Well, I'm on the Delano Banton bandwagon. I don't know about you. I'm being for real. Like,
somebody has to score 30, all right? Somebody has to score points for this team, okay?
It is not easy to get 30 in this league. And so, but either way, I think the first thing, the best thing that could have come of the season is I think we're seeing the number one pick in DeAndre Ayton. I think he's finally got to a point to where –
You think that Ayton's success, especially in the second half of the season, is sustainable and something absolutely. That we can rely on for multiple years?
Absolutely. I do. Like, here's somebody that showed you he can hit that free throw line extended jumper. He obviously, once he's inside and towards the middle of the paint, he is as dominant as anybody in there. He can block shots. He's shown you that he can be a defensive anchor. And can also be your number one scorer on the other side, almost like a poor man's Joel Embiid, you know. So I don't really want him taking that 3-point shot, but I'm okay with it. The way he's played throughout, now mind you, it hasn't equated to wins, but I think he's finally figured out what his role should be in the NBA, is to be a big man that can play big. And so I think that's the first thing that I would say. With all the losses and all the disappointment, DeAndre Ayton's maturation as a player. I think if Phoenix had this dude that he is now, when they made the finals back in, was that 2019, 2020?
I believe it was 20.
No, whenever the Bucks won, season. 21 season. Yeah,
so the one the after won. The bubble.
So, yeah, so if they had this guy in that 21 season, they probably win that championship. But he wasn't that guy. But remember, end of the game, game two, three, four, whatever it was, that inbound play, who the dunk go to finish that?
Went to DeAndre.
Beautiful. So, like, I think Ayton could very well be the star that we've been looking for as far as somebody to put us over the hump with other guys coming back.
That's one.
All right, I got like one actually sort of good one, and then one that's kind of bad but good.
A Blazers fan stretch, if you will.
It is not a Blazers fan stretch. It's actually kind of a glass half empty, but in the end, it's because I'm looking at the glass being half full, if that makes sense.
Well, there's only a couple drops in the glass right now.
You're not wrong.
I'll take a glass half empty.
All right, you know what? Let's start with that one. This season has exposed, so this is initially a bad point, this season has exposed Chauncey Billups as a terrible coach in the NBA, and finally given Joe Cronin and the rest of the front office a reason to move on from him. So I do think that this crappy season of coaching, regardless of the players, guys, he hasn't developed defense. They're still terrible. They don't effort on the defensive end.
Well, he clearly said when he got hired, I'm not much of a defensive coach.
Well, that's what they needed, unfortunately. And I'd rather have Scotty freaking Brooks, their assistant, running the sidelines at this point, because it's obvious Chauncey doesn't know what he's doing. I feel like that's been exposed, and it forces the front office's hands, okay?
So it's a negative turn to positive. You feel like, hey, Chauncey's been exposed, and we can now officially move on from
him. We can start over.
And we can look somewhere else now, yes. For the love of God.
For the love of God. And the quick second positive I see is the time that the young players have gotten to develop on the court this year. Whether or not they've taken advantage of that fully, that's another argument to be had. But positive, they have had time. Rupert and Murray and Henderson and Duopri. I don't care that this player's not that great. What the point is they've had time to develop the young guys. So that is, in technicalities, a positive for this team, right? That's all I got.
I'll accept it to an extent. This is also like to go on, like a Scoot Henderson tangent here, is that Devin Booker, when he was in Phoenix, the first two, three seasons, one of the things that he accredits to his success now is that he was thrown to the wolves early on in his career. That it wasn't let's hold him back. Let's try and build him in the gym. He played. He played a lot. He had to lead the team. He had to put the franchise on his shoulders. And the Phoenix Suns were garbage. Like, they were, I mean, that's why they got the number one overall pick to get DeAndre Ayton that year, is because they were one of the worst teams in the league. I believe it was basically when they were when they got to the bubble as one of the teams that invited, is like, that was when they were starting to show signs of, hey, maybe Phoenix can start being a competitive team in the league. But that was, again, 3 years after Devin Booker had gotten drafted into the league. So if you want to take, again, a negative and turn it into a positive, like, has it been a rough rookie year for Scoot Henderson? Yeah. We've heard that, obviously, teenage point guards that are drafted this high in the league, Danny Meringue has lamented this multiple times, along with a lot of other things with the Blazers season and why we need to look positively at that. You know, neither here nor there, but I think especially with the way Scoot has looked in April, that is one thing where him, younger guys playing as much as they have, you're not going to get better by sitting on the bench and in the practice gym working on drills and fundamentals. Yes, you can get better, but to be a better NBA player in game action, you should probably play. And so, yes, these younger guys have gotten a ton of run, a ton of action against some of the league's best. And that is the one thing that going into the next season, you have the experience, all right? You're not like a deer in the headlights as a young player in the league anymore. That is the one thing that I will say, especially when it comes to Scoot. And you can, and this, I don't want to pull comparisons to other rookie point guards and rookie players that were drafted top three, top five over the years, because you can pick and choose, like, oh, wow, look at his stats compared to Russell Westbrook his first year. Well, also look at his stats first year compared to Michael Carter Williams, and we saw how that worked out for
Antonio
him, right?
Daniels.
Again, so we can pick and choose stats as there are. The one thing that going into next year is when it does come to draft class, and we know that this draft class is, or we don't know, we've heard that the talent is not nearly as great as what's available next year. So that's when I look at next season is, are we looking at another bottom five record in the league next year to tank, to try and put yourself in a position to get talent in next year's draft? Because apparently it's loaded. It's not just Cooper Flagg. There's a few other guys. To quote Danny again, he was saying on Twitter that, like, you want to tank next year. Like, there's plenty of talent coming into the draft next year. So how good do you want to see this, or do you want to see this Blazers team repeat this? Maybe not this bad, but again, be in a position to be able to draft high, or do you want to see them fighting for a play-in spot? Because the Portland Trail Blazers, to be a winner, a consistent winner, top three seed in the West year in and year out, I believe that you need to get high-end talent in the draft, and the only way to do that is to be one of the perennial losers for 3-4 years. And so next year, I think you need to see improvements, but still in the bottom five of the league as far as record goes, to put yourself in a position to a high draft pick.
See, I don't – the way this NBA is going now, I don't know if the Blazers necessarily need to do that. I mean, seriously, with the healthy roster, which is the one thing we can say all year the Blazers haven't really had. They've had spurts when they finally get all five guys healthy, but there's never been a lineup that included for multiple games.
The injuries, like the consistency of a lineup, this entire Blazers squad. Yeah.
So do I think that they would? I think they'd be this bad with Malcolm Brogdon and Shaden Sharp and
Robert Williams
Williams, like, as in a backup role, you know, at that point, and DeAndre Ayton and
Matisse and Anthony.
Do I think that they're going to be that? And then Scoot, the Blazers haven't been winning. But as a rookie, he's hit his stride, and albeit at the end of the season.
April's been great for him.
April's been great, but listen to these numbers. 20.6 and 6, 13.8 and 9, 22 and 10, 19 and 7, 15 and 8, 19 and 15, 18 and 12, 30 and 7. Like, he's figured out finally, like, this is how you do things. Now you add better players around him. I don't think that we're going to be in a repeat. I think they're going to be better the next year and play in, if that's where it starts, because that's where it started for OKC. Let's just make the play in and let's see what's going on from there. Now we're talking about OKC having an opportunity to be the number one seed in the league the year after. It can happen. And I think this Blazers team is talented enough. The whole thing is, can they stay healthy? And do they have the right leadership, to you and Jordan's point, to be able to move forward?
I want to take a break. There are some texts coming through on the Vancouver 4 text line. I want to read a couple of those in the next segment, which we will do next for a Schultz Sports Center update. Rooting for people's demise here at the Masters on Sunday. Very uplifting.
Aren't we always, though?
Yeah. Put it in the creek. Come on. It is like the only sports gambling I do
Phil.
Now.
Looking good, Phil.
I guess. Whatever.
He looks the same.
You know he finished second last year, right?
Yeah.
Like tied for second?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would be cool to see him, you know, play more often. Oh, wait. Would be cool to see a lot of these guys play more often, but I digress. Want to read some text messages from the Vancouver 4 text line about the Blazers. If I remember right, Chauncey was the one to make Dame happy. Well... yeah, I mean, from when he was hired to what it is now, this is why I think that it's time to find someone that is better on the developmental side of NBA basketball. Like, whether it's a name that's been around and has coached winning teams and winning franchises, or it's a dude who has just put in his time and is known throughout the league as a developing assistant coach, like... who the hell had heard of Mark Dagnall before he got the Thunder job, right? who the hell had heard of Chris Finch before he got the Timberwolves job? Taylor Jenkins in Memphis, right?
Even Stotts, he was a head coach, but a relatively kind of whispered about name as opposed to being really talked about.
Coming from Dallas, that was the whole...
So for Chauncey, and you mentioned it, like before he even got hired as the Blazers coach, he was an assistant coach for the Clippers for a season?
That was it. It wasn't much.
What are we doing? And he was doing media before that, so it's like his track record of developing young talent, not really there.
And that's what happens when you try to appease a superstar. They try to do that with Giannis in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's struggling because of it. They tried to do that with Dame, and now for the third straight season, the Blazers are at the bottom of the barrel. So... I don't think necessarily they didn't used to do that, back when obviously when Jordan or whomever was they didn't hire coaches to appease the superstar for the most part. They made a decision and said, this is what we're going with as a franchise. The Blazers need to do that regardless of who they think is calling the shots.
I do want to remind everybody too that Chauncey Billups was actually not just the organization's probably second choice, but Damian Lillard's second choice. The early names that were being thrown out were Jason Kidd, now current Dallas Mavericks head coach, along with Chauncey Billups. But and Dame threw his name in the Jason Kidd camp before Chauncey, but Kidd publicly withdrew his name from the Blazers' job. Before anything even happened.
He knew he was going to Dallas. I don't want to go to Portland.
Which is just crappy. That was a crappy situation that the Portland Trail Blazers were put in. But Chauncey was the second option here. So
another text message from the Vancouver text line. As I forget that I'm on radio, need to turn my mic on. P1 Rich from Troutdale. The Blazers were able to identify possible complementary role players for the future. Yeah, I guess. I mean, when you look at the roster.
Toledo Benton.
Stop. The only players that I really, truly care about are the rookies and the guys that we've invested draft picks in. As far as, it kills me, a Jabari Walker, an undersized big. Is he really going to have a future, not just on this Blazers team, but in the NBA? I remember years ago, people were like, I like what I see from Moses Brown. Well, he's a two-way G leaguer now for Dallas, okay? Duop Reith. He's
Caleb
a 20.
Swanigan is really going to be a cornerstone of this Blazers team.
He's a 28. Hey, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Duop Reith. Good. Yeah. Fun year for him. Again, we needed someone to be a big, backup big, right? There's got to be someone. I put him in the Delano band pool. Somebody's got to play.
Stop with
right. Band, somebody's got to get minutes, right?
But he's not a role player. That Drew Eubanks, perfect example. Somebody that in the Blazers roster time rose to the situation, I think, got that 1-year contract with the Blazers after that. And then finally, after Dame let go, they have no need for a Drew Eubanks. So he used that time to become a role player. Not necessarily a impact role player in the NBA. He is the ninth, tenth guy off the bench, if that, in Phoenix. And that's basically, guys, what Duop Reith is. It's not like he's going to be the seventh guy off the bench in anywhere but the Portland Trail Blazers roster land.
He's good for the Blazers.
Exactly.
But for another team, a competitive team, he's probably not playing that much.
Again, there's a handful of guys that, and excuse me, I say Moses Brown, I meant Greg Brown.
Moses is currently on the
Blazers.
Moses
is on the Blazers, but yeah, we'll see how much longer that lasts. When I'm looking at the roster, I look at guys like Ryan Rupaire, which very young, again, as far as what was given up, second round draft pick for him. I mean, I believe he might have been in the trade, involved in the Dame trade. Tumani Kamara, Scoot Henderson. It's wild to think, too, that Shaedon Sharpe is 20 years old. Along with Scoot Henderson, who just turned 20. So keep that in mind. And Chris Murray. Basically, a handful of younger players. Anthony, and granted, he's only 24, so you want to talk about another younger player who it's him being that young. He's been in the league for how long now? You'd think he's 27, 28 now, or something. But this is going to be an interesting offseason as far as what we do with him. I mean, if he comes back, if the Blazers bring him back, he's making $24 million. I haven't looked at his contract to see how many more years are left. I'm just curious to see what we do with some of these guys that are a little bit older. What are they going to do with Jerami Grant? Is it just let him? He's kind of a forgotten player in all this, right? He is the designated. I'm the veteran bucket getter here. So when I play, I'm the guy that has to get us 30. But yeah, he's been out as well as two. It's just this team is. It is so weird.
I don't feel like they've been together enough, long enough to be able to make a real judgment as far as what's going to happen, right? Like, I mean,
so wouldn't you know it, the Blazers this season and for next season, it all depends on health.
The only thing we know for sure is that as great as Chauncey is, and he's a Hall of Fame player, not the guy that should be leading this team. That's the only thing we know for sure, because we have yet to see this team consistently for 15 games in a row, 20 games in a row, play together. And until we get a chance to really see that, I think it's tough to judge where exactly this team is. Like, there's clearly talent here. How do we coach that talent to the right spot? Like, that's the big question.
Last text message here. The positive was all the injuries. Brogdon, Sharp, Williams, Henderson, Simons, they all stay healthy all year. We win 30-plus games and screw up the draft pick. Blazers screw up being bad. So they're saying is like, hey, you know, because of how this season went and guys not being together, we might have been a better team. We're put us in that 7, 8, 9, 10th draft slot, and then we're not looking at a high-end draft pick. And again, the whole this is a bad draft class or aren't any good players coming out, we don't know that yet, all right? We were saying about Anthony Bennett a couple years ago, does the guy even like basketball? He's looking like a top 10, potentially top 5 player in the years to come. So let's just...
Who?
Anthony Bennett? Anthony Edwards.
I was about to say, from
Anthony Bennett, like, no.
No, he was a
Anthony
bust.
Bennett, what? No, he did suck. Yeah, you're right. Anthony Edwards, I mean, in the 2020 draft being number one overall. Anthony Bennett, my God, like, he wasn't even being sniffed as a number one pick until his name was actually called.
He went to UNLV, and I was shocked. Like, wait, what?
You weren't even cheering. You're like, huh? So, again, like, let's just wait and see what happens with this draft class next year for the years to come. But I think there is the consensus that get the number one pick, get Alexandre Sarr out of Perth, and pray to God that he ends up having good knees. I think that is the consensus.
Yeah, just make it sound so simple.
Dude, I should be running the Blazers.
Yeah.
Should apply.
Should have been doing it. Rashad is going to end up actually running the PGA Tour, we decided during the commercial break.
Easy.
He has a new rule for ball markers, which yes. is exactly, I think, the number one priority.
Number one.
On the
we're going to have casual Fridays all of a sudden for, you know, the second day of the Masters.
And then I'll be running the Blazers, and we got it. We got it on lock here.
I like it.
Speaking of the Masters, though, the Jason Day, his sponsor is Malbon, which is a newer golf brand. He was wearing a very loud sweater vest, apparently, and they're like, yeah, you need to take that off. You will not be wearing that on our course. Like, it was...
But guess what? On Casual Fridays, you can wear whatever you want to.
Yeah, I think Casual Fridays is called the Live Tour, is what that is. They're wearing shorts.
Fair enough. Flip-flops.
Only black and gray, though. Only black and gray.
All right, let's wrap things up. I have something I'm doing next weekend where I will not be here on the show, but wanted to bring it up to you guys because I have no idea what to expect. We get to that next to finish up the show. You're on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, final segment here. I will not be here next Sunday. I am going to the town of Garibaldi with Papa Joe, with my father, and we're going on a fishing charter excursion. Where we are going to be taken out on a boat.
Right.
You know, no shock there. Use a boat to do that. But I believe we got the at Garibaldi Charters, the deep reef lingcod and rockfish trip with crabbing. On their website, it says 6 to 8 hour trip. Apparently, all we right. have to, our hotel is like right there in Garibaldi by where we have to be. But we have to get there at like 6:30 in the morning next Saturday. Not crazy about that. Apparently, that's a fishing thing.
The earlier the better.
I don't know why. I maybe because the water is colder and they're hanging out. I don't know. But that I'm not too stoked about that. 6:30 wake up time. Well, actually, more than 6:30 because we have to be there at 6:30. Oh, so probably God. Around like 5:30 or Yikes. 6 or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
Traveling up to 20 miles offshore and fishing with our heavy-duty reel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rooting for people's demise here at the Masters on Sunday. Very uplifting.
Aren't we always, though?
Yeah. Put it in the creek. Put it in the creek. Come on. That is like, it is like the only sports gambling
Look at Uncle
I do
Phil.
Now.
Looking good, Phil.
I guess. Whatever.
He looks the same.
You know you finished second last year, right?
Yeah.
Like tied for second?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would be cool to see him, you know, play more often. Oh, wait. Would be cool to see a lot of these guys play more often, but I digress. Want to read some text messages from the Vancouver Ford text line about the Blazers. If I remember right, Chauncey was the one to make Dame happy. Well, yeah. I mean, from when he was hired to what it is now, this is why I think that it's time to find someone that is better on the developmental side of NBA basketball. Like, whether it's a name that's been around and has coached winning teams and winning franchises, or it's a dude who has just put in his time and is known throughout the league as a developing assistant coach, like, who the hell had heard of Mark Daigneault before he got the Thunder job, right? Who the hell had heard of Chris Finch before he got the Timberwolves job? Taylor Jenkins in Memphis, right?
Even Stotts, he was a head coach, but a relatively kind of whispered about name as opposed to being really talked about.
Coming from Dallas, like that was the whole...
So for Chauncey, and you mentioned it, like before he even got hired as the Blazers coach, he was an assistant coach for the Clippers for like, what, a season?
That was it. It wasn't much.
Like, what are we doing? And he was doing media before that, so it's like his track record of developing young talent, like, not really there.
And that's what happens when you try to appease a superstar. Like, right? They tried to do that with Giannis in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's struggling because of it. They tried to do that with Dame, and now for the third straight season, the Blazers are at the bottom of the barrel, so... You know, I don't think necessarily they didn't used to do that, you know, back when obviously when Jordan or whomever was like, no, they didn't hire coaches to appease the superstar for the most part. Like they made a decision and said, this is what we're going with as a franchise. The Blazers need to do that regardless of who they think is calling the shots.
I do want to remind everybody, too, that Chauncey Billups was actually not just the organization's probably second choice, but Damian Lillard's second choice. The early names that were being thrown out were Jason Kidd, now current Dallas Mavericks head coach, along with Chauncey Billups. But and Dame threw his name in the Jason Kidd camp before Chauncey, but Kidd publicly withdrew his name from the Blazers' job. Before anything even happened.
He knew he was going to Dallas. I don't want to go to Portland.
Which is just crappy. That was a crappy situation that the Portland Trail Blazers were put in. But Chauncey was the second option here. So
another text message from the Vancouver Ford text line. As I forget that I'm on radio, need to turn my mic on. P1 Rich from Troutdale. The Blazers were able to identify possible complementary role players for the future. Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, when you look at the roster.
Little Banton.
Stop. The only players that I really, truly care about are the rookies and the guys that we've invested draft picks in. As far as, you know, like, it kills me, like a Jabari Walker, like an undersized big. Like, is he really going to have a future, not just on this Blazers team, but in the NBA? I remember years ago, people were like, I like what I see from Moses Brown. Well, he's a two-way G leaguer now for Dallas, okay? Duop Reith. He's
Caleb
a 28.
Swanigan is really going to be a cornerstone of this Blazers team.
He's a 28. Hey, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Duop Reith. Like, good. Yeah, fun year for him. Again, we needed someone to be a big, backup big, right? There's got to be someone. I put him in the Delano band pool. Like, yeah, somebody's got to play.
Stop with
right? Somebody's got to get minutes, right?
But he's not a role player. Like that Drew Eubanks, perfect example. Somebody that in the Blazers roster time rose to the situation, I think, got that one-year contract with the Blazers after that, and then finally, after Dame let go, they have no need for a Drew Eubanks. So he used that time to become a role player. not necessarily a impact role player in the NBA. He is like the ninth, tenth guy off the bench, if that, in Phoenix. And that's basically, guys, what Duop Reith is. It's not like he's going to be the seventh guy off the bench in anywhere but the Portland Trail Blazers roster land.
He's good for the Blazers.
Exactly. You know,
but for another team, a competitive team, he's probably not playing that much.
Again, there's a handful of guys that, and excuse me, I say Moses Brown, I meant Greg Brown.
Moses is currently on the
Blazers.
Moses
is on the Blazers, but yeah, we'll see how much longer that lasts. When I'm looking at the roster, like I look at guys like Ryan Rupaire, which very young, again, as far as like what was given up, second round draft pick for him. I mean, I believe he might have been in the trade, involved in the Dame trade. Tumani Kamara, Scoot Henderson. It's wild to think, too, that Shaedon Sharpe is 20 years old, along with Scoot Henderson, who just turned 20. So keep that in mind. And Chris Murray. Like, basically, a handful of younger players. Anthony, and granted, he's only 24, so you want to talk about another younger player who it's like, him being that young, like, he's been in the league for how long now? You'd think he's, like 27, 28 now, yeah, or something. But this is going to be an interesting offseason as far as what we do with him. I mean, if he comes back, if the Blazers bring him back, he's making $24 million. I haven't looked at his contract to see how many more years are left. I'm just curious to see what we do with some of these guys that are a little bit older. Like, what are they going to do with Jeremy Grant? Like, is it just let him... Like, he's kind of a forgotten player in all this, right? Like, he is the designated, like, I guess I'm the veteran bucket getter here. So when I play, I'm the guy that has to get his 30. But yeah, he's been out as well as two. It's just this team is so weird.
I don't feel like they've been together enough long enough to be able to make a for real judgment as far as what's going to happen, right? Like, I mean,
so wouldn't you know it, the Blazers. It's this season and for next season, it all depends on health.
The only thing we know for sure is that as great as Chauncey is, and he's a Hall of Fame player, not the guy that should be leading this team. That's the only thing we know for sure, because we have yet to see this team consistently for 15 games in a row, 20 games in a row, play together. And until we get a chance to really see that, I think it's tough to judge where exactly this team is. Like, there's clearly talent here. How do we coach that talent to the right spot? Like, that's the big question.
Last text message here. The positive was all the injuries. Brogdon, Sharp, Williams, Henderson, Simons, they all stay healthy all year. We win 30-plus games and screw up the draft pick. Blazers screw up being bad. So they're saying is like, hey, you know, because of how this season went and guys not being together, we might have been a better team or put us in that 7, 8, 9, 10th draft slot, and then we're not looking at a high-end draft pick. And again, the whole this is a bad draft class or aren't any good players coming out, we don't know that yet, all right? We were saying about Anthony Bennett a couple years ago, does the guy even like basketball? He's looking like a top 10, potentially top 5 player in the years to come. So let's just...
Who?
Anthony Bennett? Anthony Edwards.
What about
God.
To say from
Anthony Bennett? Like, no,
he was a
Anthony
bust.
Bennett. No, he did suck. Yeah, you're right. Anthony Edwards. I mean, in the 2020 draft, being number one overall, Anthony Bennett. My God, like, he wasn't even being sniffed as a number one pick until his name was actually called.
He went to UNLV, and I was shocked. Like, wait, what?
You weren't even cheering. And you're like, huh? So again, like, let's just wait and see what happens with this draft class next year for the years to come. But I think there is the consensus that get the number one pick, get Alexandre Sarr out of Perth, and pray to God that he ends up having good knees. I think that is the consensus.
Yeah, just make it sound so simple.
Dude, I should be running the Blazers.
Yeah.
Should apply.
Should have been doing it. Rashad is going to end up actually running the PGA Tour, we decided during the commercial break.
Easy.
He has a new rule for ball markers, which yes. is exactly, I think, the number one priority.
Number one.
On the
We're going to have casual Fridays all of a sudden for, you know, the second day of the Masters.
And then I'll be running the Blazers, and we got it. We got it unlocked here.
I like it.
Speaking of the Masters, though, the Jason Day, his sponsor is Malbon, which is a newer golf brand. He was wearing a very loud sweater vest, apparently, and they're like, yeah, you need to take that off. You will not be wearing that on our course. Like, it was...
But guess what? On Casual Fridays, you can wear whatever you want to.
Yeah, I think Casual Fridays is called the Live Tour, is what that is. They're wearing shorts.
Fair enough. Flip-flops.
Only black and gray, though. Only black and gray.
All right, let's wrap things up. I have something I'm doing next weekend where I will not be here on the show, but wanted to bring it up to you guys because I have no idea what to expect. We get to that next to finish up the show. You're on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, final segment here. I will not be here next Sunday. I am going to the town of Garibaldi with Papa Joe, with my father, and we're going on a fishing charter excursion. Where we are going to be taken out on a boat.
Right.
You know, no shock there. Use a boat to do that. But I believe we got the at Garibaldi Charters, the deep reef lingcod and rockfish trip with crabbing. On their website, it says 6 to 8 hour trip.
Mm.
Apparently, we have to, our hotel is like right there in Garibaldi by where we have to be. But we have to get there at like 6:30 in the morning next Saturday. Not crazy about that. Apparently, that's a fishing thing.
The earlier the better.
I don't know why. I maybe because the water is colder and they're hanging out. I don't know. But that I'm not too stoked about that. 6:30 wake up time. Well, actually, more than 6:30 because we have to be there at 6:30. Oh, so probably around like 5:30 or 6 or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
Traveling up to 20 miles offshore and fishing with our heavy-duty reels in 300 to 400-foot water.
Can you swim?
I will not be swimming in the ocean, no. I attempted that once when I was in Hawaii. We did a snorkeling trip. And so they take you off however many miles, and they're like, so you can wade in the water if you want, obviously. If you're struggling, there's a pool noodle that you can kind of just put under your arm, so that way it kind of just keep yourself afloat, and then you can just hover on the surface. And I was like, pool noodle. No.
Give me the noodle. Give me the noodle.
Oh, dude, I jumped in that water colder than I was thinking, so it was the automatic, like,
yeah, chilled you to the bone.
So you start breathing a little heavier, and I started to swim away from the boat a little bit, and then immediately swam right back to the boat. I'm like, toss me a pool noodle, chief. We're gonna enjoy
stay right here.
I want to enjoy myself and not fight for my life out here.
That ocean is treacherous. Were you off of the coast of Maui or?
Yeah. It was like I forget what the town is down there. Kihei, I believe.
I was off. I was on Kaanapali Beach, actually off the beach of Lahaina, the town that burned in the horrible wildfires. But before, when it was still burgeoning, before all that happened, there was a jet ski spot like right on the beach. You know, you just go meet the guys, and then they take you out to like a boat.
My name's Kunu.
Basically. Oh. Very, very, yeah, very.
But it means Chuck.
Very tan, stoned dude, but very nice. But we get out there, and I had the same issue. I got on the wave runner or the jet ski, and it just, man, I could not control that in those choppy waters.
Listen,
dude.
I have profound respect for the ocean.
See, and
I don't mess
I'm with
the
you.
Ocean, man.
When I saw on the website, it's like, yeah, we're going 20 miles offshore. I'm like, can we go 5?
Yeah,
do we really have to go 20 miles? Like, is that completely necessary?
But it's a charter boat, so I assume it's a pretty nice size. Or is it a skiff?
I'm not sure what the vessel is like, the fishing vessel that we'll be on. We can look up the crew members as well. I think just from looking at the pictures, I'm gonna throw out. So how about those boarders? See what their thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I'm like, I remember we were like in 8th grade, and we took a trip to... we were going to the aquarium out in Newport, and before we did that, we went and did some whale watching and stuff, and we saw some whales, you know, kind of jump right next to the boat. It was like, nope, get me out of here. Seriously, they might have been 40 feet away from where our boat was, and they were jumping. Just see how massive those whales were. It was like, nope, get me out of here. Don't want to be here anymore.
See, text line, Vancouver 4 text line, if the seas are rough, good luck puking for 6 to 8 hours. See?
Oh, my God.
And that's the one thing I'm worried about, too. My dad said, he's like, we'll take some Dramamine. Night before. My girlfriend got me the...
the patches?
No, some, like, bracelets or something like that. Like, okay. Sea something bracelets. A bunch of hippie voodoo magic, I'm sure, that I hope helps. I hope it has some sort of placebo effect where it will make it so I'm not puking for 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, man. I didn't mention that on that trip, whale watching, everyone was sick because no one
because
was prepared.
Because of the boat, like, yes, and being on the water?
No one was prepared for the back and forth swaying up and down. It was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. See, I mean, and when I did that snorkeling trip, like, granted, I wasn't in the boat, like standing in the boat, but I was, you know, fine. I didn't have any problems. I've never had seasickness problems, water sickness, being on a boat in any capacity ever in my life. So I'm just fingers crossed that this is not the not the time that it happens.
Right.
And I hope that I come back with plenty of fish.
Hey, man, bring some for me, bro.
I hope I just have enough for me. I got to stock up the fridge.
Man, don't be selfish, man.
Hey, no,
you
if you don't
bring,
come
you
back,
can bring us a couple of pieces of
don't
fish.
Don't be shellfish.
If you, yeah. If you don't come back with some smoked salmon, I'm going to be personally offended.
We will not be salmon fishing. That is a different package we did not pay for. That's like I said, ling cod or rockfish, I believe.
Smoke some rockfish.
Like rockfish.
But yeah, I'm looking at the, deckhand Elena. I hope she's on the boat. All right, that's a Garibaldi 10 right there. Okay.
Garibaldi 10.
I mean, a Portland 7, but a Garibaldi 10.
I was going to say like a Portland 5, but all
right. You're probably right, more so on that scale. But yeah, I mean, look at some of these guys on this charter boat, these captains. I mean, that is definitely, we're going to have some conversations for sure. All right, well, I will not be here next week. Rashad, Jordan, best of luck.
You got it.
We'll hold it down.
And yeah, wish me luck on the boat and hope I bring home some type of fish, bring home some food.
Break a leg, brother.
I'm hoping so. Not literally, but yeah, I would love to catch a fish.
Hopefully you don't.
You get knocked over on the
wave. Cannot tell you the last time I caught a fish. It's probably been close to 20, 25 years. So hoping that I get something. Appreciate everybody listening out there. Rashad, enjoy your Sunday.
Indeed.
I know you'll be watching the Masters, right?
Absolutely.
As you're looking down at your phone, shaking your head, no.
Absolutely. I'm re-signing into T-Mobile. I don't know why I have to do that.
You sold it for me there.
Absolutely. I'm watching the rest of the Masters.
Jordan, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you guys too. Love you, Joe. Love you, Rashad. Love you all, listeners. I'll be watching some sports today.
And everybody out there listening, you have a great Sunday. And if you aren't watching anything, enjoy the sunshine. And we'll catch you. I'll catch you in 2 weeks. We will catch you next week, though. Peace. All right, final segment here. I will not be here next Sunday. I am going to the town of Garibaldi with Papa Joe, with my father. And we're going on a fishing charter excursion where we are going to be taken out on a boat.
Right.
You know, no shock there. Use a boat to do that. But I believe we got the at Garibaldi Charters, the Deep Reef Ling Cod and Rockfish trip with crabbing. On their website, it says 6 to 8 hour trip. Apparently, our hotel is like right there in Garibaldi by where we have to be. But we have to get there at like 6:30 in the morning next Saturday. Not crazy about that. Apparently, that's a fishing thing.
The earlier the better.
And I don't know why. Maybe because the water is colder and they're hanging out. I don't know. But that I'm not too stoked about that. 6:30 wake up time. Well, actually, more than 6:30 because we have to be there at 6:30. Oh, so probably around like 5:30 or 6 or something. I don't know.
Yikes.
Traveling up to 20 miles offshore and fishing with our heavy duty reels in 300 to 400 foot water.
Can you swim?
I will not be swimming in the ocean, no. I attempted that once when I was in Hawaii. We did a snorkeling trip. And so they take you off however many miles, and they're like, so you can wade in the water if you want, obviously. If you're struggling, there's a pool noodle that you can kind of just put under your arm, so that way it kind of just keep yourself afloat, and then you can just hover on the surface. And I was like, pool noodle. No.
Give me the noodle. Give me the noodle.
Oh, dude, I jumped in that water colder than I was thinking, so it was the automatic, like,
chilled you to the bone.
So you start breathing a little heavier, and I started to swim away from the boat a little bit, and then immediately swam right back to the boat. I'm like, toss me a pool noodle, chief. We're gonna enjoy
stay right here.
Yeah. I want to enjoy myself and not fight for my life out here.
That ocean is treacherous. Actually, were you off of the coast of Maui? Or
Yeah. It was like, I forget what the town is down there. Kihei, I believe.
I was off, I was on Kaanapali Beach, actually off the beach of Lahaina, the town that burned in the horrible wildfires. But before, when it was still burgeoning, before all that happened, there was a jet ski spot, like right on the beach. You know, you just go meet the guys and then they take you out to like a boat.
My name's Kunu.
Basically. Oh. Very, very, yeah, very...
But it means Chuck.
Very tan, stoned dude, but very nice. But we get out there, and I had the same issue. I got on the wave runner, the jet ski, and it just, man, I could not control that in those choppy waters.
Listen,
dude.
Listen, man,
sucks.
I
no way.
Have profound respect for the ocean.
See, and
I don't mess
I'm with
the
you.
Ocean, man.
When I saw on the website, it's like, yeah, we're going 20 miles offshore. I'm like, can we go 5?
Yeah,
do
I
we
mean, do
really
we
have
to go
20 miles? Like, is that completely necessary?
But it's in a it's a charter boat, so I assume it's pretty. It's a pretty nice size, or is it a skiff?
I'm not sure what the vessel is like. The fishing vessel that we'll be on. We can look at the crew members as well. I think just from looking at the pictures, I'm gonna throw out. So, how about those boarders? See what their thoughts are on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm like, I remember we were like in eighth grade, and we took a trip
beards.
To. we were going to the aquarium out in Newport, and before we did that, we went and did some whale watching and stuff, and we saw some whales, you know, kind of jump right next to the boat. It was like, nope, get me out of here. Seriously, they might have been 40 feet away from where our boat was, and they were jumping. Just see how massive those whales were. It was like, nope, get me out of here. Don't want to be here anymore.
See, text line, Vancouver 4 text line, if the seas are rough, good luck puking for 6 to 8 hours. See?
Oh, my God.
And that's the one thing I'm worried about, too. My dad said, he's like, we'll take some Dramamine night before. My girlfriend got me the
patches?
No, some, like, bracelets or something like that. Like,
okay.
C-something bracelets. A bunch of hippie voodoo magic, I'm sure, that I hope helps. I hope it has some sort of placebo effect where it will make it so I'm not puking for 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, man. I didn't mention that on that trip, whale watching, everyone was sick because no one
because
was prepared.
Because of the boat, like,
yes,
and being on the water?
No one was prepared for the back and forth swaying up and down. It was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. See, I mean, and when I did that snorkeling trip, like, granted, I wasn't in the boat, like standing in the boat, but I was, you know, fine. I didn't have any problems. I've never had seasickness problems, water sickness, being on a boat in any capacity ever in my life. So I'm just fingers crossed that this is not the not the time that it happens.
Right.
And I hope that I come back with plenty of fish.
Hey, man, bring some for me, bro.
I hope I just have enough for me. I got to stock up the fridge.
Man, don't be selfish, man.
Hey, no, if you don't come back.
You can bring us a couple of pieces of fish.
Don't be shellfish.
If you, if you don't come back with some smoked salmon, I'm going to be personally offended.
We will not be salmon fishing. That is a different package we did not pay for.
That's
like I said, ling cod or rockfish, I believe.
Smoke some rockfish.
I like rockfish.
But yeah, I'm looking at the, deckhand Elena. I hope she's on the boat. All right, that's a Garibaldi 10 right there. Okay.
Garibaldi 10.
I mean, a Portland 7, but a Garibaldi 10.
I was
going to
say like a Portland 5, but all
right. You're probably right, more so on that scale. But yeah, I mean, look at some of these guys on this charter boat, these captains. I mean, that is definitely, we're going to have some conversations for sure. All right, well, I will not be here next week. Rashad, Jordan, best of luck.
We got it.
We'll hold it down.
And yeah, wish me luck on the boat and hope I bring home some type of fish, bring home some food.
Break a leg, brother.
I'm hoping so. Not literally, but yeah, I would love to catch a fish.
Hopefully you don't.
You get knocked over on the waves.
Cannot tell you the last time I caught a fish. It's probably been close to 20, 25 years. So hoping that I get something. Appreciate everybody listening out there. Rashad, enjoy your Sunday.
Indeed.
I know you'll be watching the Masters, right?
Absolutely.
As you're looking down at your phone, shaking your head, no.
Absolutely. I'm re-signing into T-Mobile. I don't know why I have to do that.
You sold it for me there.
Absolutely. I'm watching the rest of the Masters.
Jordan, enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you guys too. Love you, Joe. Love you, Rashad. Love you all listeners. I'll be watching some sports today.
And everybody out there listening, you have a great Sunday. And if you aren't watching anything, enjoy the sunshine. And we'll catch you. I'll catch you in 2 weeks. We will catch you next week, though. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.